Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
When that wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention.
Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross.
Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness.
Learn more about Flowing from the Cross, 6 Facets of God's Forgiveness, at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday, November the 18th. It's time to go through some of our listeners' email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and some of our listeners' comments on the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That number, 618-223-8382. We know that so many of our listeners listen on demand, but even also for our live listeners, it's a great way to join the conversation when you just don't have time to pick up the phone. You can, at your leisure, send us an email or leave a comment at the comment line and ask a question, make a show suggestion, offer some criticism, or join the conversation a little late.
For the record, it's quite chilly in the unnamed Jeff studio.
Really?
Yes, it's quite chilly. What's it in there? I don't have one of those thermometers.
72.5 degrees, which is a little higher than it normally is, but I have the floor vent closed because it was kind of going up my back. I'm becoming an old man, and I'm temperature sensitive. I didn't used to be, but
Didn't you always have a problem with your wife? She likes it warmer than you. Was it your wife or your daughter?
Oh, yeah. My daughter. We had them over, the whole kit and caboodle over the other night for the ending of her colossal birthday week. She doesn't have a birthday. She has a birth week that she celebrates. And
must be nice.
With events all week long. Her husband takes time off of work. They go places. The culmination came one of these nights this weekend. I can't remember which one. The house was so hot because we'd been cooking using the oven. It was steamy inside her house. She walked in and she immediately said, "I'm freezing to death." Yeah, there's a little conflict of the temperatures. Not so much with my wife anymore.
Email, shall we?
Let's do it.
Chuck writes, "This is in regards to your recent interview with Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of our Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. Chuck writes, I was very disappointed to hear your speaker, Dr. Daniel Pavola, say and hear your host agree, must not know your name, your host, agree that baptism covers our sins. No, absolutely not. When something is covered, it is still there. Baptism washes our sins away. The operative word is away. After a shower, the dirt on your skin is washed away, down the drain, not on you anymore, not just covered. Baptism washes our sins away. They are no longer on us. This is not just silly semantics. This is fundamentally important. So no, I won't be reading this man's book, and my trust in Issues Etc. is also eroded. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback, Chuck."
Well, Chuck, I think you're overreacting just a little bit, because it's not an either or. The Bible does talk about our sins being covered in at least one place. Psalm 32, "Blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered." It equates the covering of sin with forgiveness itself. And it's no coincidence that Paul will quote that very psalm in Romans chapter 4, "Blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Now, in Psalm 32, he uses the word, it's the Hebrew word kasah, which means to cover or cover up. And then when Paul quotes it, writing in Greek, he uses the Greek word epikalypto, and it means to cover or cover up. He uses an exact cognate in Greek for that Hebrew word, and both of them mean to cover. So it's not an either or. Does baptism wash away our sins? Yes. Does it cover our sins? Yes. They're two different metaphors for what baptism accomplishes. Because Paul says it's not like washing dirt off the body, but it's the bestowal of a clear conscience. That's what Peter says about baptism, how it saves us. So both of them are metaphors for the God's act of forgiving sins. And you can talk about washing away sins. You can talk about covering sins. There are several, actually many, metaphors that describe what God does in and through baptism when he forgives our sins. And one of them is covering. It's not the only thing that baptism does. And maybe what I should have done is said, well, not only does it cover our sins, our sins are washed away. And Dr. Pavlo would have very readily agreed with me because he affirms that baptism also washes away sins, but it's not an either or. Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line about our interview with Dr. John Bombaro on the term pass away.
This is on-demand listener Mike in Illinois responding to the November 11th segment on the term passed away. Thank you for your recent provocative segment from missionary John Bombaro regarding the term passed away. While I agree with all the warnings the Reverend Dr. Bombaro gives regarding Gnostic dualism creeping into funeral services, his protests against the term passed away, an apology for using only the terms death and died, go too far. I won't go as far as one of my seminary professors and say that the term died should only be used for those receiving the condemnation of eternal death, and also for Christ, who took that condemnation upon himself in our place. So Dr. Bombaro is spot on when he says Christ saved us from death and not passed away. I will side with Dr. Francis Pieper when he says every Christian, and especially every teacher in the church, ought to know the sweet names of death well and use them, and then goes on in a footnote to cite Luther, Quenchstadt, and Gerhardt. Not too long ago, Pastor Wolfmuller spent several minutes on the topic of the sweet names of death. Unfortunately, this came in the middle of a segment on another topic, and I've not been able to find it yet in the on-demand archives. In light of those previous comments and his blog post from a couple of years ago on the sweet names of death, I would be interested in hearing a segment with Pastor Wolfmuller responding to Pastor Bombaro's segment. One other suggestion when doing interviews with missionary Bombaro, I would find it helpful when he makes references to I heard or saw recently in a Lutheran church, for him to clarify if this was while he was deployed or while back here in the U.S. While I would absolutely trust Dr. Bombaro's grasp of the languages more than my own, there can be subtleties of language and inferences difficult to grasp for native speakers, let alone for someone grafted into the culture. Thank you, as always, for bringing such thought-provoking programming to my podcast stream.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thanks for listening and for your gentle criticism there. I think what Dr. Bombaro was attempting to do was to criticize not just the term passed away. It was kind of placeholder for all of what I think he called the evasive euphemisms for death. Euphemisms that are not intended to be sweet names for death, like sleep or asleep in Jesus. Those are certainly sweet names that we can use. But they're not evasive euphemisms that somehow say that death isn't what it actually is. And so he was using passed away as a placeholder for all the euphemisms used in our culture and that have sadly found their way into the church that evade the fact of death rather than describe how it is Christ has conquered death. Those sweet names of death are only sweet because we can talk about death in a sweet way because Christ has conquered death and made death the portal to eternal life. And so I think he was focusing very narrowly, and if you listen to the account that he mentioned there of going to a funeral, where they used exclusively the term passed away and avoided using the word dead and death, I share his concern, I'm sure you do as well, that to avoid the term dead or death for something as generic as perhaps Gnostic as passed away, I think several times he said, what does it mean to pass away? Where do you pass to? What does it say about death? It really says nothing about death. It's so little about death as to be evasive. So that was his main criticism. He was trying to warn us against accepting and using these evasive euphemisms for death. The sweet names we should embrace, especially if they come to us via Holy Scripture.
And thanks to Michael for recording that on the Issues Etc. comment line, because if it's more than 30 seconds, probably not going to see the light of day during listener email. Or it's going to be paraphrased greatly, and people don't like that either. So thanks for recording your comment.
Brief and to the point, yes.
Exactly. Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Lindsay has a great question. How does a pastor get called to another church, particularly an associate pastor being called up to a senior pastor position somewhere else? Does he apply like you would for a job application? Is there a religious order of farm teams? Lindsay, thanks for the great question. Thanks for listening.
That's a really good question. Have we done this? Have we done this comprehensive show that we've been talking about doing on how, not just the mechanics of the call, but the theology of the call? I know we've talked about doing it, but it was probably around the time COVID hit that kind of threw it off the table for us. But I don't believe we have. We've talked about it piecemeal here and there with various guests. The pastoral office is not a job in the sense, it's a job in a lot of ways. It looks like a job from the outside, but in a theological sense, it's not a job in the same way a truck driver is a job, or a line cook is a job, or a doctor is a job. Because the pastoral office is an office established by Christ himself, and it is one to whom he alone calls men. It's an office to which he alone calls men. He calls them immediately through his church, through his congregations, through his people. But it is Christ who calls these men into the office and not men. Men, now from the outside, it looks like a man decides to be a pastor, right? But in fact, that decision is all contingent upon whether or not he is in fact at one point called to be a pastor by a congregation. So a pastor is called away from one congregation to another in exactly the same way. The congregation looks at several candidates. I think in the best of all possible circumstances, they try and keep their hands clean from any kind of human meddling, which means, at least in my day, they didn't interview the guy until they were serious about calling him. They didn't let people apply for the job. They allowed these calls to come up from within the congregation itself. They didn't like have guys come and audition for the job. All that stuff happens today. It's detrimental to the call process because it allows for too much human manipulation and meddling into something that ought to be simply, it ought to be as clean of human meddling and intervention as it can possibly be. It can never be completely clean of it. There's enough with just the simple call process. But what usually happens is a congregation is in need of a pastor. They know of names of pastors. They call their district president and say, do you know of anybody out there who is eligible for a call or who has expressed a desire to move from one place to another? Sometimes it's a financial, a medical condition, whatever it could be. And then trying to keep as human fingerprints off it as much as you possibly can, they gather names, they have a meeting, they just carry out a simple vote. People say, I think this guy's good. No, I think this guy's good. They get it down to a slate, 2, 3, 5 names, whatever it may be. And then they have a final vote and the man is called. And the man can say yes, and he can say no. And he is utterly and totally free to do either one because a man in that position, a pastor in that position, is called to where he is. He's also being called to where the other congregation wants him to be. And he is not wrong to stay and he's not wrong to leave. He doesn't need to sit there and say, well, what's the Holy Spirit telling me to do? He just needs to make up his mind. That's it. The Holy Spirit is saying, stay or go, but make up your mind. When a pastor has two calls, that's all the Holy Spirit ever says is, stay or go. It's up to you. Make up your mind. And in that sense, from the pastor's perspective, it's a human decision. But the Holy Spirit so coordinates things in his church that he is able to very easily use our means to accomplish his goals. We'll be right back.
wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention.
Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross.
Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness.
Learn more about Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, at issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 160 years, St. John Lutheran Church Child Care and Preschool has been a congregation committed to bringing Christ's salvation to the people of Fredonia, Wisconsin. We gather to receive the Lord's gifts and His divine service to us each Sunday at 8 and 10:30. If you're in the northern suburbs of Milwaukee and looking for a traditionally liturgical church, please join us this Sunday. For more information regarding education or enrollment, visit us online at stjohnfredonia.org.
You eat His body and you drink His blood? That's the same surprise that many people had when they first heard about the Christian faith and the practice of communion and partaking of Christ's body and blood from the altar. The November issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Lord's Supper, our fellowship together, our fellowship with other church bodies, and the practice of close communion. Pick up your copy today to learn more at cph.org/witness. You can also visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Responding to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line, I'm Todd Wilkin. In about 10 minutes, we'll get some post-election analysis from Molly Hemingway. When the spread of our sin needed to be fixed, God matched the sin with the cure. His scalpels were the nails of the cross. When sin was so serious that cutting had to be done, God took up the hardest and sharpest tool of all. The crucifixion nails driven into His own Son were His instruments. What a strange surgery by which we were healed. That's a little bit from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of Forgiveness. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Flowing from the Cross, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Aaron S., have you ever considered an ad-free giving level for the podcast? One where at a certain level of giving, probably the result of statistical magic, you would offer the same on-demand archive without ads. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Aaron.
Well, we've never considered it. We have talked about ad-free at certain points, but...
You just contradicted what you said. You just said we never considered, but we have talked about ad-free.
We haven't talked about ad-free levels of giving, but we have just like tossed around the idea. What would it sound like if it were... ad free. So Jeff is the ad man at Issues Etc. He's the guy who handles all the accounts. He sees to it that we have advertisers and underwriters and all those kinds of things. And he and Lynn together coordinate all this machinery that makes for the advertising you hear on Issues Etc. He and Jeff is the one who decides what ad's going to run where in the show, because you can't pile these things up in a haphazard manner. It's called inventory, and we need to fulfill that for the people who are generous enough to advertise with us. So it would have to be a substantial amount, but it would also be an incredible amount of post-production work, because like in the case of, we're talking in real time, the ads are going into the recording via our automation system in real time, and they would all kind of have to be removed and taken out. So... and how we would give access to the ad-free version to people who have donated enough, it would have to be a pretty significant amount, I would say.
It could be done, but we love our relationships with our advertising partners.
Absolutely.
And it's a symbiotic relationship, and we're glad to work with them. And just finances, we'd have to come up with a little more than $50,000 in new revenue to make this happen. And you also have to realize that the people are advertising primarily for the podcast, which 90% of the people who listen to Issues Etc. do not listen on terrestrial radio, do not listen to the live stream at issuesetc.org or other internet stations.
They listen on demand.
They listen on demand. So if I were an advertiser, I would significantly reduce my advertising level if I were in their shoes if we offered an ad-free podcast.
Right. So we have relationships and obligations to both our listeners and to our advertisers. And the we value those relationships with both of them, obviously, but with our advertisers as well, because they're being generous with us. And they have things that our listeners do need and want to hear about.
Mary, she's inquiring about our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio, which, by the way, we'll be switching to sacred music for the Advent season this coming a week from this Sunday. It'll be the 29th, I believe, first Sunday in Advent.
Yes.
So you can listen at LutheranPublicRadio.org, the LPR mobile app, or on TuneIn to Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. Mary asks, I just discovered this station and am enjoying listening on my computer while working. I've got two questions. One, is there a place to see what music is currently playing?
You can if you are listening on a laptop. The player there will actually scroll across the player, the piece that's playing for you, give you some of the information, the title, maybe even the choir that's performing. But if you're listening on our app, if you listen on a browser, either on a laptop or someplace else, then you'll see this called metadata that scrolls there, but the app won't permit the metadata through to the listener there. We've talked to the app company about it, and they think it's a tremendous idea, but it's one of those kind of, they backburnered a lot of those ideas because it would require them developing all new features for the app.
Two, I think it would be nice to have the churches identified by name and place that are rotating under congregational sponsorship. So she's talking about, like, thanks to the following congregations for sponsoring Issues, etc. So technically, those congregations, their sponsorship does not include our sacred music station. It's an Issues, etc. sponsorship.
Right.
However, if they go to LutheranPublicRadio.org, that's our sacred music station, and they click find a church, it will go to the congregational sponsors for Issues, etc.
So, yeah, what the congregations are actually supporting when supporting congregations, we used to call it the Issues, etc. 300. What they're supporting Issues, etc., but it also benefits our sacred music station.
Randy in Wisconsin. I sometimes hear sound bites from interviews I think I missed only to go back and fail to locate it in the archives. Today, I can't seem to find the interview that is the source of soundbite number 3, Dr. Anthony Esselin, Abortion and the Lies of Unreality. Any suggestions would be appreciated. Thanks for listening in Wisconsin, Randy.
Go to our website, and rather than scrolling down through the archive, because I agree it can be difficult. You're seeing name after name after name. It can be easy to miss one. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. There on the homepage, there's a search function up in the top right-hand side of the page.
Actually, it's not there.
Where is it?
We need to put that on the homepage. It's under the Talk On Demand archives and some of the other pages. But the search engine is not on the homepage, and that needs to get done after today's show.
Put that on my list. I'll put it up there.
Yeah, wait, if we want it done, Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, if you're listening, put it on Lynn's list, and she will make sure it gets done.
So after tonight, you can either go to the Talk On Demand archives page or after tonight just to our homepage, and you'll find a search function there in the top right-hand corner. And if you click on that and enter the name Esselin, E-S-O-L-E-N, it will give you, the search page that it will give you will have all of our interviews with Anthony Esselin there, and it's probably at the top of the list.
And we get this question occasionally from Soundbite of the Week, where do I find the in-depth interview where the excerpt came from? Well, considering it is Soundbite of the Week, it could go back for the next week, maybe 2 weeks max, in the archives. And you'll find an Anthony Esselin interview there.
Yeah. Soundbite of the week. The word week is kind of fluid. around here because sometimes we go more than 1 week without doing sound bites, and sometimes...
But never more than 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yeah, and recently they actually fall a week ahead because we're posting our sound bites on Mondays now rather than on Thursdays.
Yes, so if you're a podcast listener, and very few podcast listeners listen to listener email and the issues, et cetera, comment line, but the remnant of you who do, you can vote for Soundbite of the Week now. We've got them all. They're in your podcast feed, and you can vote in advance for issues, et cetera, Soundbite of the Week. You don't have to listen live on this Friday afternoon from 4:30 to 5 Central.
You can go ahead and listen right now because they're already posted. Usually by Monday afternoon or evening, we have the four soundbites for the upcoming Friday posted there at the website. We're going to take a break when we come back. Are we going to be talking with Molly Hemingway when we come back? Oh, goody, goody, goody. Molly Hemingway will join us for some post-election analysis. She's a Fox News contributor. We're going to talk a little bit about how it is that Joe Biden got so many votes, more than Barack Obama and more than Hillary Clinton, among other things. Stay tuned. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Konoha, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.